Hello and welcome to Tech Advantage, a podcast by the Luxembourg Institute of Science and Technology. List and the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company here in Luxembourg have recently announced the start of the second phase of their strategic partnership. The two entities have been partners for quite some time now, the phase one having started back in 2017. Today we have with us Romain Hansen, Vice President EMEA Product Development at Goodyear, to talk us through this collaboration, the various technologies and research that go behind the production of tires at Goodyear, and also to give us his vision for the future of the tire industry. Hello, Romain.
Hi.
Thank you so much for accepting our invitation to do this podcast with us. So, first of all, when did you arrive in Luxembourg?
Well, Goodyear actually arrived in Luxembourg with a manufacturing plant, which is just next to our innovation center.
Yeah, I saw it.
And that was a manufacturing plant that was built just after the war in 1950. And I think in 1952, we actually produced our first tire.
Here in Luxembourg?
Here in Luxembourg, in that plant. At that time, this plant was a plant that produced all kinds of tires, so consumer tires, truck tires, farm tires. And over time, and with the complexity of the European market, our plants had to specialize on specific products. And today, the plant here in Luxembourg is a commercial tire plant. And immediately when the plant started, we started also to do some R&D work, right, to improve the products, to adapt them to the European market and so on. So actually the Innovation Center actually started also in the early 50s, mid-50s, with probably a handful of engineers inside the tire plant. And then early in the 70s, we actually built this building, which is known as Goodyear Innovation Center Luxembourg today, and which today has more than 1,000 scientists working on tire products, consumer, commercial, and race products, and I have to add motorcycle even, products for EMEA, and EMEA stands for Europe, Middle East, and Africa. So that's our responsibility in terms of design.
So you just said that, you know, you already, when you started back in the 1950s, there was already this vision of R&D at the time. So which kind of institution or which scientists from which institution were you working with at the time?
Well, I think at that time we imported talent from the US because that was where the original design of those products was made. But Goodyear recognized very quickly that if you want to be successful in the market, you need to have scientists in the market to understand the needs of the market and then to translate it into a product. And that has then driven the fact that we had more and more capabilities added to this center. And today we are a center that can do the product development, but also technology development. And we are really also focusing a lot today on sustainability and digitalization of our design processes as well as our manufacturing processes.
Excellent, because we'll come back to that, those two, sustainability and digitization, a little later on. Just to give, know about the context a little bit about the partnership between Goodyear and List. So how did it start? What was the context behind the beginning of the partnership?
Well, actually, the beginning of the partnership goes back to Goodyear's history. We had a huge research center in Akron, Ohio. That's what our home base. And over time, research was research and product needs were product needs. So they actually went in two different directions. And so our research at one moment was too academic, and it didn't serve anymore the product development needs. Well, it means they were working on problems that did not solve the problems of the marketplace. Mm-hmm. So it was really looking into science, which could not be applied later on into a product. And then from there, the decision came to ramp down those efforts because there was no market impact anymore and no relation to it. And over time, that research building, which is a nice building in Akron, was practically emptied, and could you stop to do research? That went together with another movement in the tire industry where typically the tire industry was vertically integrated. So we did everything ourselves, and including research, and it was a very closed scientific circle, so for IP reasons, basically. And I remember the days when, and it was Jean-Claude Keane, who was our CTO at that time, he said, well, we need to use more open innovation. And that was challenging for us because, well, we lived in a very closed environment for decades. And now somebody comes and tells you, you need to work with institutes, right, around the globe to be faster in developing relevant technology for our products. And so in that migration, we started to work more with universities, institutes, and I think then the creation of the assembled institute of LIST here in Luxembourg was a great opportunity for us to tap into talent. And I think that's the history of how it started. Now,
in 2017, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly,
yeah?
It was in 2017. And I think it also goes back to a coincidence that we had, because we had a leadership meeting here in Luxembourg with all the leaders from Macron, including the CTO at that time, which was Joe Zukowski. And so we organized a meeting, LIST Goodyear Leadership. And I remember well when we were driving down to Belval, he was in my car, and at one moment in time he said, do you think this is a good investment of my time? And I said, well, we see, let's see.
Yeah.
And then we went through the meetings, and the other morning I came to my offices and he said, well, Romain, we should invest into that partnership because they have a lot of capabilities. It's an interesting model to do research. Let's set up a program. And that's when we set up the program, which we now call LIST 1.0.
Yeah.
So it all started. But I think the coincidence was really that we had that Akron leadership team here that could actually see the capabilities, talk to the people, and have a face to LIST, basically. And then it was relatively smooth to get it started.
And also to probably to visualize, you know, to
exactly.
What were the possibilities in
exactly.
terms of research? Because you just spoke about the 1.0. Could you probably just tell us what kind of projects LIST and Goodyear have been involved until now? What sort of projects?
Yeah, in LIST 1.0 was, I would think, two big areas of application. First area was around data science, because we saw the need to have a better approach with regard to understanding our data and transferring our data into knowledge. And so there was one part of the program focused on data science, but the biggest part of the work was mainly material science, where we were focusing on fillers, polymers, additives, and analytical tools. And in those areas, we advanced the material technology quite a lot.
And what was the goal, basically? What were you looking to achieve?
Well, at that time, what we were looking to achieve was, on one side, to improve our analytical processes, because we did not have all the capabilities required to understand the physics and the chemistry of our products, which we built together with LIST. And then the second option was that at that time there was a high focus on low rolling resistance on low rolling resistance of tires.
What is? Could you explain what that is?
Rolling resistance, that's basically the force that...
the friction, you
the
mean?
The friction, we call it rolling resistance, but characterize it as the friction, which then directly has an impact on the fuel efficiency of a vehicle. And with labeling introduced in Europe, and with pressure on CO2 emissions, and with our desire inside Goodyear to have a positive impact on this planet, we had high focus on driving rolling resistance of a tire down, and we had quite some projects with LIST to understand rolling resistance on the material side and to define materials which could help us being at lower levels of rolling resistance.
And so these two were basically data science and the material science.
Those are the big topics, yes.
So now coming to the 2.0 bit, that is the new phase of the partnership that has started already. So could you just, in a few words, first of all, just describe the umbrella objective, and then probably we'll go into a little bit of detail.
Well, at the very high level, I think the umbrella is the same. It's again data science, and it's again material science. Now you might say, so what? Why do you need a 2.0 if everything is the same? Now inside it has changed quite a lot, because we have a higher level of maturity in data science. So we are more scientific today because we understand more of our data. And we have understanding on how to transfer our data into knowledge and into models that we can use to do predictions. And so it is at the next level of science and application. And on the material science side, actually, we will have a different focus in LIS 2.0. The focus will be mostly now turning towards more sustainable products, products that we can recycle at the end of life and are aligned then with our strategy roadmap, where sustainability is in the center of the strategy roadmap. So we have modified a bit our focus, and clearly on material science, it is today recyclability, reuse of recycled rubber materials out of tires in new tires, and then also sustainable raw materials.
Before we go into probably the details of it, so you said sustainability, and you're looking at the entire life cycle of the rubbers, yeah?
Absolutely.
You were looking at using the recycled rubber in other tires, yeah?
Yes, yeah. That's one of the goals. And yeah, you might actually, if you look at a tire, right, a consumer tire, you buy a new tire, you use it for the life of the tire. When the tread is worn, you need to change it. Now, at that stage, you probably have used 20% of the material of your tire. And today, a lot of those tires then go into a furnace. They are burned to get the energy back, and the material is gone, right? This is the case today because we were never able to really recycle tires at the end of their life into materials, raw materials, that we could integrate in the tire and keep the same performance. So it was always possible to recycle into tire products, but we lost performances that are important for our customers. And so a focus will be clearly on creating materials that we can recycle into tire products to be able to, and at the same time, keep the performance of the tire.
What kind of materials were you looking at to integrate in the tires to make it, like you were saying, more sustainable or more performant? What kind of materials were you looking at?
Well, the sort of materials are, if you look at the rubber compound, typically you would look into the fillers.
Yes.
So what type of fillers would you use in tires? And today, carbon black and silica is used as a filler.
Fillers, you mean the, if you could just tell our listeners what is a filler, because...
Well, a filler is...
Something to bind, yeah?
Yeah, well, to bind, actually, to be between the change of the polymers. We have chains of polymers in a tire, and they are too flexible, and really to make the rubber compound robust enough for the use, you need to reinforce it.
Yeah.
So it's a reinforcement of the structure of rubber, and that's why you integrate those fillers in the rubber. And the filler today is carbon black and silica. And then we are looking into recycling of tires to create carbon black, recreate carbon black that has a quality to go into new tires, and then make sure that we get to the right performances still with that recycled material. And then maybe other type of fillers that are not used today in the tire industry.
So creating them.
Creating new fillers, which then would come from a sustainable, renewable resource. That's the goal. Now, that's the goal. I'm not sure we will find it. Right?
And what about safety concerns? Are these sort of recyclable materials? They are sustainable, but
yeah,
in terms of safety, they're...
Well, there is no compromise on safety and on key performances of our products for our customers. So obviously, when we include those new materials, they will go through years of evaluation and testings, and it is clear that they will be, those products will be at the same safety level than our products of today, and there is no compromise on safety for sure.
Coming back to the 2.0 thing, I saw that you have almost 40 projects, almost, yeah?
Yeah, it's close to 40, indeed. Yeah, there are typically, I think, five families of products or projects that we have. Data science, we mentioned that. We will continue to do data science in a bit a different way, because since a year and a half now, we have a fully dynamic simulator installed here in Luxembourg, where we generate tons of data.
So when you say data science, what does that mean exactly? So you collect the data and then reuse it?
Well, it's collecting data and then analyzing data and creating models to predict performances in areas like the simulator, the dynamic simulator. First of all, why do we have a simulator? It's to bring a test driver into a digital twin of a vehicle, so to speak, because the simulator is a model of a vehicle, and on that vehicle we then screw a model of a tire, we use a model of a road, and at the end the driver drives that simulator and gets the same feeling than he would have on the car on the road.
So it's like a it's virtual, in a virtual environment.
It's a fully virtual environment. And if you think about today's approval process of tires, includes that subjective rating of a test driver, right? So a test driver gives an input to the car. He expects a certain response of a vehicle. And if the response is not what he expects, it's a bad tire vehicle combination, right? And that's done today in a world that is a physical world. So we build tires, we test tires, and we scrap tires if they are not good. That will be done in the future in a virtual world. So we will have a tire model, which is a digital twin of a tire. We'll have a digital twin of a vehicle, and the test driver will evaluate them subjectively.
And this person will have the same sort of experience.
Very, very, very similar. It's not exactly the same, because the visual information that he gets is slightly different. But since it's a dynamic simulator, he will feel accelerations, decelerations, and he will feel if the vehicle behavior is balanced or not. And based on that, we then actually can develop products in a virtual world.
And what about the rolling resistance that you're talking about?
Well, the rolling resistance is another component to it, and not important for a subjective evaluation of a product.
Right.
Obviously, we need to do additional tests. But also in that world, we actually can predict rolling resistance with finite element tools today, which are very close to the reality.
Right.
And so what does data science do in all this is actually looking at the human in the loop. So the driver is really sitting in that machine, in a simulator, or in the machine that we call a car on the road. And we can learn more about the interaction of a driver in that vehicle. So how does a human being react to situations? How does a human being feel a behavior of a vehicle? And we actually can digitize that, because we now know exactly what input that person gives into that ecosystem, and how the ecosystem responds to it, and how people feel about that.
Right.
And so we can learn a lot about human in that loop, and understand and digitize basically human beings in vehicles.
But you were talking, I'm sorry, I think I interrupted you. You were talking about the five big families of research.
Yeah, absolutely. A new and the second family might be a family which is new to us, and it's sensors. Now you might ask, well, sensors and tires, what does that mean? Roughly 10 years ago, we said, well, to actually offer better service to our customers, we think that the tires should be intelligent, right? And now how can a tire be intelligent? Well, intelligence for us means that the tire starts to interact with a vehicle, or it starts to interact and communicate to the driver.
You mean artificially intelligent tires?
Yeah, that's I would call it like that, because then you need to have sensors in the tire, respectively data around the tire, to create models and predict behavior. So today we are able to predict the friction between the tire and the road, which means that at any moment in time we can predict how the tire will behave that day under those weather conditions, and also in those tire conditions, because we have to know that a tire changes performances over tire life. So a new tire behaves different than a half-worn or a fully-worn tire. And our sensing capabilities take that into account, and they can inform vehicle systems that, oh, this is a fully-worn tire. Maybe the max speed you can have on a wet road is not anymore the initial speed you could have. And automatically, the car could reduce the speed to a safe speed on wet roads with those tires in the conditions of that day.
So the tire itself will sort of self-control the speed?
The tire will inform the vehicle systems that now it is time to go down in speed. So it will basically inform the vehicle on the safety margin that is left before you are in an aqua planning situation.
Right.
But it can also inform you about the load that is on every single axle. Now, if you think about why do I need to have load in some applications, it's important.
Sorry, what? Load?
The load, the force that is on every of the four wheels, and how heavily a vehicle is loaded. There are applications where there is a limit on the load that you can have on a vehicle. And one very important one, which you see more and more on European roads, is those camping cars.
Mm.
They are very often limited to 3.5 tons max weight. And we could inform the driver that he is overweight, and then in an illegal situation on the road. So those are applications for the future to actually improve safety on our roads.
I'm thinking probably it would be useful in self-driving cars, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the next level. Whenever you have a self-driving car, there is no driver anymore to judge water depths on the road, or snow or ice, or any of those road conditions. So it's important that information flows into the algorithms of that self-driving car. And that's the next step, where our tires will then inform AVs about certain conditions on the road. And I remember well when the team developed the first algorithms, they were very proud to show me the algorithm and real-time data. And it was based on two trucks that were running in Toronto. And they showed me the friction coefficient between the road and the tire. And I looked at it and I said, well, I hope it's snowing in Toronto, because the friction is very, very, very low. And they said, well, we don't know. And so they called and looked into the weather conditions in Toronto, and indeed it was snowing. There was snow on the ground, and our sensors were measuring the right thing. So that's what we are working on. That's the next step. Basically, you can imagine that you get information also like when is a tire ready to be replaced.
Hmm.
It might be easy to look at a tire and say, well, now I need to have new tires. But many, many people actually don't know when to buy new tires. And so we could generate information to say, hey, it's about time to get an appointment to change your tires because the profile depth that is left on your tires is not sufficient anymore. And all those things. And actually, we could order tires for you immediately because we know the size of your tires. We can then deliver to your dealer, and you just need to fix an appointment. So those are the business models of the future, which will be driven by one of the programs that we have with LIST, which is to develop sensors that actually survive and generate enough energy to survive in a tire.
Okay, before we go on to the rest of the strategic programs, just a curious question from a user. Is there a way, because every time in summer we have to change tires, in winter we have to change tires. Are there sort of, we can develop sensors that can, sensors or a sort of materials research that will give us tires that we can use? I know that there are all year round tires. I know that. But something that, we will be confident enough to use actually all year round, especially in Luxembourg, given the weather right now. Because the other day I was told that, now you have to put the summer tires on. But this morning it was -2.
So, yeah. Well, unfortunately, I cannot give a positive or answer to or response to your problem. Unfortunately, still the tire needs to be in contact with the road, and it is the only contact with the road. And it is important that geometry and the rubber properties are adapted to the temperatures and the conditions. And the dream of a tire scientist probably is that you would feel the temperature outside and you would change the compound and the structure of the tire. We are not there yet. I'm not sure we'll be getting there. Today's technology is more that you need to have, if you want to have the optimum performance in summer, you need to have a summer tire. If you really want to have a top performance in winter, in all winter conditions, you need to have a winter tire. But today's all-season tires are also a fantastic compromise, which work actually very well in summer and have a very, very good winter application. Especially at Goodyear, we really have an emphasis on very good wet and winter performance because that's what our customers want to have. That's the scary situation you can come in to drive on snow. A lot of people don't want to drive on snow. And then if they have a good tire product, they feel secure and they actually feel also okay to use their vehicles in conditions which are not excellent conditions.
Thank you so much. Sorry for the digression. So let's get back to the five strategic programs that you're... So we heard about the digitization bit, we heard about the sensor bit. No, sorry, data science and sensor, right?
Exactly.
And what about the three other?
The three other, I think the next important one, that's the raw materials that we put in a tire.
Yeah.
And there our emphasis is actually to have raw materials that are sustainable.
Yeah.
You might have heard about prototype tires that we have built, which are at 63, 70%, up to 90% sustainable raw materials in the tire. And we have a bold goal to drive that to 100%.
And what are these raw materials?
That are, again, a lot of fillers, polymers, that's the main part. But steel, there is steel in tires. Polyester, how can we have maybe recycled polyester in tires? Recycled steel, which is very challenging today because the steel that is used in tires is high quality, high tensile steel. And to recycle steel to that quality is not easy, but we are working with suppliers to get there. So that's one goal, to drive sustainability to 100%. Actually, we have marketed the tire in North America, I think with 17 different sizes, that has 70% sustainable material content. So it's a reality today. It's not only demo tires. The challenge for us is to build the supply chain of those materials in the tire industry so we have enough of those sustainable materials to secure our production.
And when you're talking about sustainability, like you said earlier, so you're looking at the entire sustainability of the entire life cycle.
Absolutely. And then we actually come to the next topic. A tire generates some CO2 emissions during manufacturing. So we also are looking into materials that we can process differently at lower CO2 emissions. Then a lot of the CO2 emissions of a tire are generated throughout the life of the tire when we use the tire. So when you drive your tire, you generate CO2. For instance, every user also has a huge impact on how much CO2 you produce by just paying attention to the inflation pressure you have in a tire. If you're operating your car always at the right inflation pressure, which probably requires checking in the inflation pressure every between 4 and 6 months to make sure that you are at the right pressure, that guarantees that the rolling resistance, which we mentioned before, is at the optimum, and then you will have a lower impact on CO2 emissions. But then most of the CO2 emissions are generated throughout the life of a tire. And then obviously at the end of a tire life, today not a lot of tires are recycled to come back into a tire product. And this is based on the cure systems. That's based on the difficulty to disassemble a tire at the end of its life. So the easiest way is actually to put them in a furnace and burn it and get the energy out today. Our goal is to find ways to recycle most of the material and to reuse most of the material into a new tire product. And that's the fourth pillar of LIST, to look into possibilities to reuse more of the material. And the fifth pillar of our LIST 2.0 is focused on analytics, to continue understanding better the materials and to learn more about the interactions of our materials, basically in situations which are close to the use case, not static, but in a dynamic mode.
So this is going to go on for 5 years, yeah, currently? What is the
That's the That's timeline? Correct. The time frame is set to 5 years. Now, there is no magic with 5 years, but typically it is not very easy to do impactful research faster. If you set up a program which runs a year or two, you only can learn that much. And we felt and we confirmed it with our LIST 1.0 that, yeah, you need to have the ability to learn. And the five-year program gives you also the possibility to readjust your research. Because when you learn something, you might say, okay, our initial thoughts were not fully correct. So we need to change a bit the research, because the research, and that's an advantage with LIST, should be applicable. So whenever we move research in a direction where we say, well, we never can apply this in a tire, respectively, it doesn't give us the performance that we initially thought it would provide, then you need to have the ability to tune the projects, to change the scope a little bit, and this would be difficult if you would do it in a shorter time frame.
Yeah, of course. And so within these five pillars, you have the 40-something projects. So I imagine each pillar is working on various sorts of, looking at different angles.
Different projects, yes. And then you mentioned the 40 and the five main pillars. It is important to manage those projects very well. And we have enough confidence, based on the experience of our first partnership, that we can manage it very well, because we have the same management principles in place. And we have also a structure in place of governance of those projects. So if you think about the collaboration, it's really a collaboration. It's not, let's give a task to LIST And let's talk to them after 5 years if they found a solution. That would certainly not work. It is really a collaboration where our work stream leaders, so the five work streams, they will meet with our specialists at least probably twice per month to review progress, to maybe redirect the research. So it's really a collaboration, and vice versa. The researchers from LIST will spend time here at Goodyear to actually work with our people, our scientists, on those technologies. And then the management, project management, is also a very important item to stay aligned throughout the process.
Thank you so much, first of all, for elaborating about on all these very, very interesting programs that are currently going on with LIST. Before we end, 10 years or 15 years from now, what do you think we'll have? Same sort of cars, the same sort of tires, and what kind of research will go in the future? And is there anything else, any sort of other innovative research in the tire industry that is going on right now anywhere around the world? And what sort of a vision do you have?
I really think that the tire is an essential part of the mobility of tomorrow. I think it's important that the tire contributes to road safety by the performances in all weather conditions, but also by being integrated in that ecosystem of vehicle and mobility and connectivity. So there, the role of the tire will be bigger, I think, in the future, because today it is responsible to keep the car on the road in all kind of conditions. Tomorrow it will be proactively reacting and informing a vehicle or a customer, which I think is an important contribution to road safety. The performances that a tire needs to have, sustainability will stay for a while.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because to convert an industry like a tire industry to a sustainable raw material sourcing is something that takes years. So we will be in that sustainability movement for years and years. We will also have to look into other solutions when it comes to wear of tires. Wear particles are discussed broadly. We are investing a lot of time and effort into understanding wear mechanisms and to design products that wear as slowly as possible. I think those will be focus areas, and also all those areas that have an impact on our footprint, our CO2 footprint, and on the planet will stay for a while. I see the world thinking greener in the future, and Goodyear has sustainability in the center of our strategy roadmap. It is a focus area for us, and I see it being a focus area for the years to come.
Well, thank you so much, Romain, for indulging us. And hopefully we'll talk some more later. We'll have another opportunity.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.